Funky dope. Hello, welcome to the Litty Titty Book Club.
I'm Amanda.
And this is our podcast where we read,
review,
and rant about books once a month. Well, twice now.
That's the idea.
Because we like to torture ourselves?
Just kidding.
It's fun.
We are diving into 1984 by George Orwell.
Just want to thank everyone for listening. We really appreciate your support.
Yes. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, followers.
All right. Let's synopsisize this book.
1984 follows a man named Winston Smith living in a totalitarian society ruled by a governing body named Big Brother. They control everything from the media to essentially your thoughts. Winston secretly despises Big Brother and everyone who follows their rhetoric. He starts up a forbidden romance with a woman named Julia, and they daydream of rebellion and bringing down Big Brother. Eventually, Winston and Julia are found out and tortured into submission.
Just some author background. So George Orwell is a pen name, and his real name is Eric Arthur Blair.
Wow, that is actually...
Who knew?
A tidbit, because I had no idea.
Right? He was a teacher. He served with the Indian Imperial Police for 5 years, and he fought in the Spanish Civil War. You listen to that and you're like, what have I done with my life?
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Back in the day.
That's quite the bio, George. I mean, Eric.
First impressions.
Well, first impression for me, as mentioned in the last episode of our podcast, it was a slow go for me at first because I just typically am not in the headspace for these kind of classic novels, that type of language, that type of setting. But I love a dystopian theme. Love it. Yeah. So that's why I was like, oh, persevere, Amanda, because
it gets good.
It gets good. And you're going to like the message. You're going to like the twists. And it just feels so sci-fi. So not sci-fi.
It is in a way. Kind of sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, you know, there's just a darkness to dystopian themes that I love it. Yeah. So, but the get-go, because I listened to it, maybe I'd feel differently if I were to read it, but give myself the right setting for reading it. It is a lot to read. I feel like it's not a quick one. It's not the same way that our books are written these days, where it's a lot of just entertainment, the kind of society we're used to.
Yes.
The same kind of social things that happen between people. So, yeah, it was a slow one for me to get into just because I felt like I was in the 1940s sitting around the radio in the living room waiting for the show to start and hearing this staticky British man talk about a story. I'm in my striped pajamas. And
oh my gosh. Yeah, I also listened to the book. So I bought it on Kindle and then I was like, oh, I'm just going to see if this is on the library because it was a hard read. There's a lot of information.
Yeah.
And a lot of like backstory to get you into the zone of Oceania where they live.
Yes.
Or as Emma in her book club would say, Oceanire. She listened to one. I don't know. She listened to one that had the weirdest like pronunciation of Oceania.
Dang.
So she kept saying Oceanire.
Oceanire Twain.
Literally.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Okay, so Oceania. Which now that I keep saying it sounds so weird. But it's a lot to get into when you read it.
Some of those political books too. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, dystopian, I find I'm watching those types of shows a lot. Like, you know, Handmaid's Tale, that type of thing.
Walking Dead,
like it's like you're it's easy to follow those political government twists and info that comes to you when you're reading it. It's sort of like, okay, I'm in this headspace.
Yeah, you really have to work yourself up to read it, I think. So I hopped on Hoopla through my library to try and find some type of audiobook.
And there's a million.
There's so many versions.
A ton, yeah.
I found a dramatized version, which we mentioned last podcast,
yep,
which was interesting because, excuse me, you have him explaining things to other people in the dramatic one that would just be written as his thoughts.
Okay.
So he's talking about his work, but he's explaining it to someone else who's starting new on the job or something like that.
Okay.
So it's interesting. And then you get all the, of course, the sounds, the 2 minutes of hate speech thing that they do.
It's so just, there's a lot of it's bulk. Really involved. It there's is a lot of a bulk lot, that they can, that I found seeing all these different recordings that some of them are 4 hours. Like the one you sent me was 4 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck? Mine's 9 hours.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's got to be just a ton of bulk that had been edited out, but you wonder how important some of the bulk was, and am I missing out on some of those descriptions?
I think you can get a general idea with like the dramatized one if that's your kind of go-to, and it is well done.
Yep. Well, they've made this into a movie, haven't they?
I think there's one movie, which I'm surprised they haven't redone this.
Yeah. I mean, now that we've said it, I bet you that algorithm or whoever listens.
Yeah.
Like, oh, 1984 revamp?
Oh, revamp.
Wait for it. We said it here first.
Amy in her book club did watch it, and she was like, do not. It is not good.
Okay.
No. So don't waste your time watching the movie. No. As soon as that torture kind of stuff happened, or like he got found out, then I was like into it.
Right.
And this can't be spoilers because this book has been out for 100 years.
Oh, like, yeah. It's so probably old. 1940, right?
Yes, I think so.
Almost 100 years.
Yeah, look at me. I did audiobook. And then I bought the book, actually, because I loved it so much, which is something I do.
For you. Yeah, me too. You have to. It's like a trophy.
It is a trophy.
Yeah, after you've listened to it, you just want to add it to your collection because so it looks good. I probably will pick it up as a physical copy one day just to take it in a different way. I did listen to it with not as much intention as I could have.
There's some parts in the audiobook where you're listening to it. If you are not paying attention, it is so easy to zone out and lose focus because it just goes on and on and on about political stuff or how they are brainwashing people and how they do it or why they're doing it. And you're like, oh my God.
Psychologically, I think I'm getting this, but it is
it's a lot. Yeah, it is. It is. Did you like the listening experience then?
I did.
I switched audiobooks, right? Because
you sent me a different one. I liked the narrator. It felt like simple, the way everything was described visually. I was able to hang on and I understood what was going on and everything. So
it was really, I think, well written.
Yep.
I'm not going to say for its time because I haven't read any other books, like any other classic books, right. Really.
There's a couple books that I love that are definitely older publications, like The Bell Jar. I read it several times.
Is that Sylvia Plath?
Sylvia Plath, yeah. And I loved The Bell Jar. It's got the same type of
vibe
and language that people don't really use. No one's saying Riz in
best.
I mean, I'm not saying Riz.
1984.
Yeah, 1984. But put it that way. But yeah, I like some of those older books, but it's been a long time since I've read any. I want to say that was my vibe as an earlier reader.
Like high school
Amanda? High school Amanda, early 20s Amanda. Now she's into ACOTAR.
Now she's into smut.
The smut, the saddies, like I mentioned last episode.
I had my book out on my desk at work, and my boss came by, and he was like, no way, 1984. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you've never read that before? No, you're 70. We are not the same age, sir.
Right? Yeah. Like, it does feel like kind of a rite of passage as a reader.
How can you not read it?
Yeah. Which I'm glad I do feel accomplished now that I've got it under my belt.
Am I better than everyone else?
Sweeps bangs to the side.
Oh my gosh. Let's dive into the characters. So we have Winston Smith. He's the protagonist, or
as I was saying, is he a protagonist or is he an antagonist? Because sometimes he's a little villainous.
In the beginning, I think so.
Yeah, he says a couple out-of-pocket things. But I mean, look at the society the guy lives in.
That's true.
I get it.
And the upbringing. Like, that's all he's ever known.
Yeah.
Right? When the party took over, he was so young.
Mm-hmm.
So he has these glances or glimmers back into the past.
Not a short memory.
No, not when you're that young. So he is the low-ranking party member of the inner party.
Outer party.
Oh, outer party?
Yeah, what I understood was that inner party is kind of your high class, outer party is your middle class, and then the, what are they called, those?
The pros. Prioles.
The prioles. They are
like a pastry.
Yeah. Profiterole. She watches Bake Off.
So the profiteroles,
those are your lower class.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a class system still, but so they're calling them.
Would we be considered outer party?
I think so. Yeah.
They're like government workers.
Yes.
Okay. And then the profiteroles.
They're the ones that aren't really followed by Big Brother.
Yes. Okay.
And then your inner party is that sort of those higher ups,
like government officials,
yes,
kind of
like, right? Elon Musk inner party.
Whoa. God, let's not go there because we could be here for hours.
Let's take a backspin here.
Okay, so Winston Smith, member of the outer party, mm-hmm, secretly despises the party and dreams of rebellion.
Yes. Then we have Julia, Winston's lover. She works in the fiction department at the Ministry of Truth and rebels against the party through personal pleasures rather than political ideals.
We have O'Brien. He's a high-ranking inner party member who pretends to be part of the resistance and ultimately betrays Winston and Julia.
That was a good twist.
That was a good twist. I had to go back when that happened and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I know. It threw me.
Yeah, I was like, you dog.
Yeah, you dog. But how, like, dare you? Yeah, good storytelling for Morwell, though.
Oh, I'll say. Eric, good job. Then we have Big Brother, which is the omnipresent, possibly fictional leader of the party. He's not real.
It's definitely a group of people, is what my take is.
Easier to put a face to something.
Yeah.
Because it was a group of people and people realized that they're being led by a group of people. It's kind of like the president, right?
Yep.
He don't do nothing.
No.
At least Trump don't do
nothing. Yeah. Whoa, we're back on the
U.S. politics. It's so hard not to relate this book to present times.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is very applicable in our society.
It's wild.
It's actually scary.
It's very scary. Yeah.
It's like I'm still hoping for the best here.
We'll get into that because I have thoughts.
Okay.
So we have Big Brother figurehead, fictional leader of the party. This guy's face is on posters. I think Orwell likened this to Stalin. So just picture Joseph Stalin's face everywhere. And it's a symbol of total control. So let's talk about the different ministries.
So there's Ministry of
Truth.
That's where Winston works.
Yeah. And they control all the media.
So this is fucked up.
It is messed.
F-bomb is they go back and rewrite history. So the party is in favor.
So let's say the party's puts out a paper that says rations of chocolate are at 30%. And then the next day they make an announcement saying, just kidding, rations of chocolate are 20%. Then Winston has to go back.
Omit these details.
And basically say that rations have always been 20%.
Yeah.
So the party's never, never wrong.
The party is never at fault here. So that's what Ministry of Truth kind of does. Then there's the Ministry of Peace, which is basically, it's war. About war. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ministry of Plenty, which that's deals with the
rations,
economics,
things like
that. And then the darkest one, I think, is Ministry of Love. And yes, that's what is controlling people's thought.
That's true. And that's where the torture chambers are.
That's room 101.
We'll get into that. The world's kind of divided into all these.
Do they call it like a country or a state? Because there's,
they're different countries, I think.
There's Oceania.
Oceania.
And then there's Eurasia.
Right.
And East Asia.
Right, correct.
And that's what they, but it's,
I read this book so long ago. Yeah. So this is like, you are helping me.
Yes, yeah. Well, I did. I took notes because honestly, I needed to at this stage because when it comes to political stuff, I could lose some of these facts and points.
That's
a blink of an eye.
That's fair.
It was interesting because, yeah, it's kind of like, it's based off of our world. It kind of puts you in the seat of, oh, this shit could actually happen.
It could. Yeah, it's scary.
Oceanire is, shout out Emma.
She's going to be so annoyed.
Yeah. Is essentially
North America.
The UK.
And UK.
It's the United States overtook the British Empire.
Okay.
And that's what Oceania is.
Yeah. And London is now called Airstrip 1.
Airstrip 1. Yes.
What?
Sketch.
Yes.
And then we have Eurasia is Russia subsumed all of Europe.
Okay.
And then we have East Asia, which is all the remaining nations.
And they're all fighting over Australia, basically.
Yeah.
Right? Which is the ongoing war.
Yes.
Which keeps people poor.
Yeah. Which you assume. I've also heard theories about that there's no war at all and it's just them.
Oh yes,
yeah.
There was that in the book. There was a theory that there's no war and this is all just a ploy,
yeah, to keep people.
I think Julia said that
bay.
To Winston, yeah. And he was like, wait, what?
Yeah and he got mad at her,
right?
Yeah
because he's against Big Brother, but it's been his entire life basically.
Yeah, it seems like he is a believer, but
yes,
he's conflicted.
Yes,
yeah.
That's a thing that happens, I think, in any society that totalitarianism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you not believe what they say when that's your whole life?
Yep. And everyone around you. Like, mm-hmm, you don't really see much differentiation from his societal standing.
Yeah.
Like in his outer party.
Well, when you lead with fear, mm-hmm. it's so scary to try and go against that bigger, higher power because yeah. you never know who's in and who's not, yeah. right?
I like that he has some pushback on certain things, like the exercise. Like he's like, oh, this stupid exercise oh, kind yes. of thing, right? Has he always had this opinion or sorry, is it wearing on him where, yes, mm-hmm. it's all he's known. This should just feel like brushing his teeth.
Yes.
Like I don't like make a big deal every day, like not the teeth brushing again, you know?
But I feel yeah. like he was in a state of depression and people who are depressed are like, oh my God, I have to do this.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. They're second guessing their actions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have in every single room in the outer party or inner party, there's uh-huh. these teleprompters. What are they called?
Oh, the telescreen?
Telescreen.
Yeah.
So it's essentially a TV. They can see into the room. It's just blasting propaganda 24/7.
Yeah. And watching you and.
Yeah. So yeah. when he's doing the workouts and he's getting annoyed,
she calls him
comrade.
Out. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like oh, fine. Just yeah. tries to touch his toes.
Oh man. Yeah.
I remember talking to you about this because I'm like, where are you in the book?
The exercise.
The calisthenics.
All the calisthenics. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's yeah. where I am. Still?
I was like there the beginning of the book. I was there for a long time, listeners.
It was draining.
Yeah, it was draining. But then I took a turn. That's the thing. Sometimes the books are worth the investment. Ooh, power through because there is a bigger message here and you are going to appreciate the storyline a lot more.
True. But it's always hit or miss, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I power through and I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't.
Yeah. Great. Thanks for that. Whoever recommended that book. Yeah. So we see Winston starting to rebel. He gets a secret diary.
Yeah. That's new for him.
Yeah. That yeah. he purchases from this little shop that he just finds wandering around in the prole. What is it called?
Prioles?
Yeah. Yeah, the Prioles.
It's like the Prioletarian.
I couldn't quite get my head around it. So there's this community of these poor people. They're free, right?
Yeah.
Like they just have shops. They sell antiques, but the outer party can't purchase these things.
Yeah.
Because if he said if I was
they're
caught
like
with
black
this,
market items.
But it's so odd. I just couldn't wrap my head around.
They make up like the bulk of the population too. Mm-hmm. Like they could overturn the government if they all banded together, but they just don't.
They said they keep them
brainwashed,
kind of brainwashed, yeah. but they're just kind of, they just don't engage in anything political because they have like football. What do you mean there's football still?
Yeah.
That's what I couldn't understand.
I know it seems Winston wanted to be part of that.
He did.
Lifestyle too.
He did because yeah. they said with the proles you're free.
Yes.
The proles is freedom.
He wanted to just be married to Julia.
Live his life.
Being a prole.
So he mentions a neighbor singing. Like one of the proles singing.
The red-armed lady.
Like, what do you mean there's music? I just think like this dystopian world is so, so, so different from mm-hmm. the proles.
Yeah.
That it was hard to wrap my head around, like, how are you so divided?
How are they controlling the this section yeah. of people, but not this bulk of people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very confusing for my brain to try right? and wrap around that.
I know. And like, how come he couldn't just decide, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I'm just going to go off yeah. over here.
Like, I think it would have been different if Orwell said he listened to music or did anything.
A specific selection.
It literally
of these
just
people.
Felt like his life was going to work and coming home. And mm-hmm. that's it.
Yeah.
And there was nothing else. That is bleak.
Yeah. Like, why is he going along with this? Like, no yeah. wonder he gets this diary to do
because
something different.
Then, yeah, then he talks about going to the proles and they have a bar and they're drinking half a liter or a liter of beer because there's no more pints.
Yes.
Which I thought was so weird.
Yeah.
A weird thing to get rid of.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Julia.
She's at the Ministry of Truth as well.
Oh, in the fiction section.
In the fiction section.
So she is rewriting books, essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but she sends Winston a note.
It seemed very out of pocket.
Yeah. I mean, she had already been rebelling in her own way.
But we don't find that till
later. But that's her personality.
Yeah.
What about Winston, though, stuck out for her?
I don't know. How old is he? He's older than her.
39.
And yeah. she's 28.
Yeah.
So like a 10-year difference.
Yeah.
She hands him this note in the hall that says, I love you.
I love you.
Whoa, girl.
Whoa. This is the hardest thing to believe. The government stuff, the dystopian, the rationing.
Fair game.
I can see that happening. But this I love you note that this
from this young
this
girl.
Lovely young lady yeah. gives to a 40-year-old man.
A 40-year-old man
who doesn't seem like
hated her.
A nice guy. Yeah, he thought some pretty wicked stuff about her.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Scary stuff. Which he told her. And she was just like, ha, 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 you silly man.
Right.
There was one part where he saw her walking in the proles area, thought that she was following him. And he was like, I could just take a brick and follow her and smash her in the head.
Right. That's why I said he's villainous. He's got some violent ass thoughts. This could be part of the propaganda that they're getting pumped.
Because anybody could be a spy. So Julia and Winston start this secret relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They can't have an open relationship because he's still married.
He was married to a woman named Catherine.
Yes.
And they would essentially only have sex with the purpose of having a child.
Yes.
Catherine found out they couldn't have children. And so they separated. But they never divorced.
And so he has no idea if she's even alive still.
He's technically still married to her though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he can't marry Julia.
That's wild. When they were going to have sex, she would call it the duty to the party.
Yes, because that's the mindset they're at. Yeah. And that's why he can't really have an open, explicit relationship with Julia, because that's sort of how she rebels against the party.
Is through sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she said she's had sex with inner party members.
Yeah.
And he was down for that.
Yeah. He loved it. He liked that rebellion.
He thought it made her more grown up.
Yeah.
So they rent a room above Mr. Cherrigan's shop.
The one where he got the diary from.
Yes. And they have their weird little relationship where they see them each other like once a week. And it is a form of rebellion. And they talk about rebelling against the party. But how do you do that in that kind of society? Right?
Exactly. Well, that's why he sort of has this vision of this O'Brien guy.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's got an in with what they call the Brotherhood. That's who he thinks are the people who are planning or have meetings about overthrowing the party.
Yes.
And so he wants to get in with O'Brien.
With the Brotherhood.
Yeah, with the Brotherhood.
Which is weird to go off of just a glance.
Yes. He's totally just judging a book by its cover.
O'Brien looked at me for like 1 second, a little too long. Yeah. And I think
I had a dream about O'Brien telling me to meet him.
Right.
O'Brien does reach out to him.
Yes. Come to my house. I have a copy of the
Newspeak.
Newspeak. Yeah.
The dictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in Oceanire, they do Newspeak. Yeah. Newspeak. Not news. Newspeak.
Yeah. Newspeak. It's all one word and it's meant to control the population.
Yeah. So they are essentially deleting words
from out of the language
to the point where people will not even know the word freedom or know what it meant.
Yeah.
Brian approaches Winston.
Yes, which he'd been waiting for.
Yeah.
And it does actually happen.
Julia and Winston go to his house.
Yep.
And then he says, I'm going to give you a copy of the Brotherhood's book. And you're going to be in the Brotherhood. This is what you have to do. You have no problems like murdering a child if you have to.
Christ.
Yeah. And they're both like, no problem. They get the book eventually, and then they get raided, which I didn't expect.
No, I love that twist because it was so unexpected. And that's what made this book amp up for me.
So they're in their love nest above Mr. Chatterington's place
that Winston's been renting.
They're looking out over the fields, and he says something along the lines of, we're all dead.
Yeah.
And she says, yes, darling, we're all dead.
Yeah.
And then you hear this voice saying, you're all dead. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And there's a screen behind a painting.
How? Because.
Goosebumps.
I know. I was like, oh my God. That's the scary thing is they put their trust in Mr. Cherrington.
Who is inner party?
Who's inner party. And had this telescreen hidden behind a painting.
How patient are these inner party people?
They play the long game.
Literally.
These people play the long game.
Because Winston and Julia get taken to this torture place.
At the Ministry of Love.
Which is not about love. They're separated.
They're taken captive and tortured.
Yeah.
And
the torture is intense.
Pit against each other.
Something called Room 101, which is where your worst fear is, essentially.
Yes. And what's the big twist here?
What do you mean?
Is,
don't put me on the spot.
No. So who works there?
Oh,
O'Brien! That was a big twist. So O'Brien has been playing the long game too.
Yeah.
So we think this guy is in the Brotherhood, helping out Winston, gives him this book.
So Winston's been trapped in this room for God knows how long. The lights never turn off.
Yep.
And then O'Brien walks in.
Yeah.
And Winston goes, oh, they got you too?
Yes. He thinks O'Brien has been taken prisoner as well.
I just got goosebumps again.
Yes. Yeah. 1984 turned out to be a banger.
So Winston gets tortured and they torture him to basically love the party again.
Yes. Because they want him to be so open that he's ready to believe whatever they say.
And then they would kill him.
Yeah.
Because their thought, which is the correct thought, I think, is if they were to drag him into the street and shoot him, he would be a martyr.
Yeah.
Right? Because he would still be screaming, the party is bad, Big Brother's a lie.
Yeah.
And then kill him.
No, they need to get him back on their side.
Which is why they have so many people in there for so long.
Yeah.
But you see people who haven't eaten in weeks. The lights are always on. I don't think I would last. From O'Brien, you find out that Julia essentially gave up right away.
Yes. She said, I love you in that note. But I don't know if she truly loved Winston.
How can you love someone when you stared at them for 2 seconds across a room?
You can't. Right? She was trying to rope him in.
I think so. Yeah. Do you think she was working for the party?
No.
No?
I mean, there's so many theories. Mm-hmm. I feel like this book has like sprouted all kinds of conspiracy theories.
There is actually another book called Julia, mm-hmm. written by a different author.
Oh.
And it's her point of view
of
1984. So I think I'm going to read that.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, then report back. Because, I mean, she is a little bit of a wild card. Mm-hmm. Where...
you never really know what she's thinking.
And you don't know if she actually did give him up right away. Because that's what they tell him.
That's true. It could be another form of trickery.
Yep. So much trickery.
Mm-hmm. You're stressed the whole time in this society because you're like, I can't say anything. I can't look the wrong way. I can't make any emotion on my face because if I do, someone's going to report me to the thought police.
Yes. And it seems like they just take it at face value. Like there's no investigation.
It's like, oh, who said what?
Yeah.
Oh, let me go get them.
Sketch a clock.
After his release, Winston's broken, mm-hmm. both physically and mentally.
Yes. Well, what's the thing that breaks him, remember?
Oh, the rats.
The rats.
In room 101. What would your 101 be? What's your like thing?
But, it has to be kind of like a personal phobia.
Yeah. What's your personal phobia?
What's yours? You go first.
Dude, I don't know. Any kind of bug or spider. I love jumping spiders. They're so cute. Yeah. But I don't want them on me.
No.
So any type of bug. Ugh, like I can't.
But isn't there enough things out there that are just scary no matter what? To Winston with the rat cage.
Totally.
They break me because I don't want rats eating my face.
Exactly.
Of course that's a phobia. So that's terrible.
But it's so crazy how they learn about his phobia. He's like, I've only ever dreamt about that.
Crazy.
They're always, always listening. Yeah. Which is so scary. So you don't have a phobia. It's just anything.
Fire. Yeah. Being burnt.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah. If it was like hot stuff coming towards your face.
I mean, that's like anybody though, right?
Yeah, that's anybody. Yeah. But that's not like a true phobia.
Mine's just bugs.
My phobia is just absolutely anything scary. Absolutely anything.
All of it.
Scary or owie. I don't like any of it. It's just all across the board.
Fairball.
Yep.
So he encounters Julia again out in the street. No feelings, no love there.
He's even like repulsed a little.
Kind of, because she's changed so much, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how much time has passed. I don't remember, but...
Well, he's been brainwashed at this stage. It was just such a crazy ending.
Yeah. They put him in, like, a job where he doesn't have to do anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
He's not monitored. No. They don't care about him because they know they got him.
Yeah. I think he's controlled enough at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's just scary. The whole thing's just crazy on the mind. I do want to go back and give it.
And read it.
I'm in this stage where my setting and my how I'm reading has to be set up a certain way.
Mm.
Like it has to be at bedtime with tea, the right lighting. And then I have to be like, okay, I'm reading George Orwell. I need to focus.
No one.
So there's no phone beside. So I'm not going to get on my scroll. I need to be in room 101.
Jeez.
Just kidding.
It was well written.
Yeah.
And it was so well thought out and explained.
Yes.
Like how Big Brother controls people.
Mm-hmm.
I made stickers for people. I'll give you some. But it says, make Orwell fiction again. Because so much of what's happening in that book is kind of happening now.
I know.
And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, is the social aspect of it. The monitoring you and watching you. Do you think this type of control, this type of totalitarianism control could come back into play? Or because we're so connected social media-wise... it would be hard for them to do that.
I think it would be hard because of people being able to push back and discuss it. People are calling things out. But I think there's other ways on a different scale of like influencing that happens to us. Mm-hmm. All of us using social media anyways. People caring about certain things that don't really like, you know, matter, like consumption and
overconsumption. You're kind of just like mind. That's how they control you. Yeah. Just a mindless zombie scrolling.
Yeah. So there's some level there that I think it already happens to people.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think it would be how it is in the book, like that type of control.
Yeah.
I think it is happening.
That's a big
right
scale.
Now.
That's really harsh. That's
the whole world.
Yeah. The whole world. Right? That's a society. But right now it's really subtle. We're like, we think we have a lot of control.
Or we have no control.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think we're like outer party then?
I think we're outer party.
Yeah.
It's not like we're just going to work and then coming home. I mean, I would like to wake up in the morning and do some calisthenics.
That's what I was going to say. But I wish
I feel like
someone was like, get out and stretch.
Right? But I have enough freedom to be a lazy ass.
Yeah. I could stretch.
Or, no one's yelling at me, comrade, touch your toes.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'll call you at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Oh, touch please, your toes.
Please do not. I am going to text you tomorrow at 7 a.m. and tell you to touch your toes. Yeah.
I'm putting my phone on silent.
Are you going to recommend this book to people?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like shouting it from the rooftops because it's been around for so long that people already know that the book exists.
Yeah, I would audiobook it. I think reading it is if you want to deep dive more, because in my book, I have footnotes on certain things, which explains his writing or why he did this or what it's likened to. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I would compare this to Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. That one's a similar one for sure, because there's so much control.
Yes. Yeah. Just the first one I think about.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one that I think could happen in the States right now, the way it's going.
Right. I know. It's like, stop reading these books or watching these shows and applying it to actual government.
This is not a playbook.
No, this is meant to be a fictional story.
So another one would have been Never Let Me Go by Kazuo Ishiguro.
We all liked it in the book club. That one's wild. That's a
cloning people for their organs.
Yeah, dystopian, but they're born into this. They don't know they're clones.
Yeah.
And they find out kind of later. And so it's a lot of that questioning.
Authority. And going along with it too, right?
Going along with it. And then, you know, they're clones, but they have feelings and thoughts and
they're people.
They're people. It's just really conflicting.
Mm-hmm. And that one has a movie too. I would watch the movie or read the book. They're both really good.
Yeah, both good. Interesting concept.
Actually, I think you should watch the movie and read the book. The way he writes is kind of one POV. It's not emotional. So you kind of get to see the emotions in the movie.
Yeah, it's a little more dynamic between the characters.
But we're not talking about that book.
Yes. But it is likened to this kind of story. So
we hope you guys liked that deep dive, kind of not deep dive, because you could go on forever.
You could.
Honestly, this book.
This is a spiraling one.
It is. I should have taken more notes and just been crazy about it.
But it was a gooder. I mean, what's your rating?
It's really good. Ooh, I think it was like an 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Like it was really, really good.
Yeah. I'd peg it at a 9.
And I am still thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed this
one. I think
one.
It has so much lore, kind of.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Where like lore is the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Like there's so much. I'm pretty sure there's like Orwell Wiki.
Oh, for sure.
Because there's so much.
There's so much where he drew from, like
theories, and
it's wild. But crazy. I'll read Julia and report back.
Yes,
let you know.
Well, thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.